we get on to more exciting topics. We're going to continue with slichos related topic for today. Specifically, you're going to notice that as soon as we start saying slichos, you know, I'm talking with the high school minion, but in the high school minion, Rabbi Kamenetsky announces at slichos that just in case there's anybody that's actually saying all the words, we skip machnisei rachamim, the paragraph machnisei rachamim at the end with the tachnun at the end of the slichos. That the minhag of our yeshiva is to skip it. He announces every year on the first day of slichos. So I want to discuss that a little bit. Why would one skip machnisei rachamim? Why would one not skip machnisei rachamim? So this relates to a major theological question, which is one allowed to pray to angels? Because machnisei rachamim is a reference, pashup shat, to angels. We're asking those machnisei rachamim, those angels, to bring our tefillos at the end of the slichos, to bring our slichos up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rishon and Achron debate exactly what you are allowed to do in terms of relating to angels. We discussed this a little bit when we discussed Shalom Aleichem. I think we had a shir on Shalom Aleichem. We discussed Baruchuni L'Shalom. That's another issue of asking angels to bless you. So there are many that skip Baruchuni because they feel that it's not appropriate to ask an angel for a bracha. So let's go through some of the sources. First of all, there are several arguments against saying piyutim to angels. The Yerushalmi in Brachos Perek Tes Halacha Aleph says that a person who makes a request of a powerful person is in a worse position than someone who makes a request of God. Because when you try to get a meeting with a powerful person, you got to get through a whole bunch of screeners before you can get to the actual powerful person that you want to meet. But when a person has a request of God, he doesn't cry to Michael or Gavriel, but only to God himself, and God immediately responds. And the implication is, of the Yerushalmi, that we don't pray to angels. We have a better channel. We can go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, the Rambam here in Sanhedrin, in the Perish of Mishnayis, the Parachelek, remember when we did the Akdamah to Parachelek this past week, I didn't actually get to read through the 13 Ikare Amunah, which is what it's most famous for, where he formulates the Ikare Amunah. But the Rambam, in explaining the fifth of the 13 Ikare Amunah, says that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is worthy of our tefillos, and we don't do anything that's beneath him, including the angel. We don't daven to anything that's beneath him, including the Malachim, the stars, constellations, because they don't have any free choice. They just do the will of God, and we don't use them as intermediaries to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We deal directly with the boss. We deal directly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gra says that based on that, Miyomam Dialdaiti in my Sarav, it says that the Gra said that from the day I became a Bardas, I never said Machnisei Rachamim because I think it's against that Ikar Emunah that you're going to be davening to Malachim. The Ramban in Parshas Yisro also writes that Avodah Zarah includes those who worship angels, and then in discussing worshiping angels, the Ramban also writes, or believe that angels have abilities, or treat them as intermediaries between us and God. Use angels as a way of reaching to God. So the Ramban seems to say that it's usher, says explicitly pretty much, that it's usher to daven to angels. Also, in the Sefer Moedim L'Simcha, on page Mem Gimel, he has a whole essay about this topic, and he quotes from the Ram Rutenberg, who specified that we should stop the minhag of saying Machnisei Rachamim, because we don't find any of the Avos or the Nevi'im that composed tefillos geared toward angels. So it's against our tradition to have tefillos that are geared toward angels. Why would one, yes, say Machnisei Rachamim? What would be the argument for it? So the Maram Rutenberg points out that the blessing of HaMalach HaGoel, which was composed by Yaakov Avinu, seems to address the Malachim. So even though he, on the one hand, he says, well, we don't really find the Avos did well, Yaakov Avinu composed HaMalach HaGoel. Maram Rutenberg disagrees with that raya. He says that that prayer is to the one who sent the angels, not to the angels themselves, so he doesn't think it's a real raya. But one could have argued that maybe that's a raya, that we could deal directly with the malachim. There is also Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis, where the Gemara in Shabbos says that a person is not supposed to daven b'lashon arami. The Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Bechana ki ave azlinan basred Rabbi Lazar l'shiulei b'tficha zimnin amar hamakom yipakteich l'shalom v'zimnin amar achmana yadkrinech l'shalom l'shalem." So, meaning sometimes he would say in Hebrew, he would give a bracha in Hebrew, from Pokade in Hebrew, and sometimes in Aramaic, from Yad Karinech, the Dalit is corresponds to Zion in Hebrew, that HaKadosh Baruch should remember you, L'Shalom. So, Hechi Yavad Hachi, how could he speak in Aramaic? From Rav Yehuda, La'olam al yishal adam tzrachav b'lashon arami, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to daven, you're not allowed to ask for your tzrachim in Aramaic. Vam Rabbi Yochanan Kalashol Trach Blashon Rami Ein Malachei Hashares Nizkakin Lo. If you ask in Arami, Malachim aren't going to pay any attention. Shein Malachei Hashares Makirin Blashon Rami, because they don't recognize Lashon Rami. Answers the Gemara. That was shiny chola de shechina imo. You don't need the malachim when the shechina is right there, and when you're dealing with a chola, so then you're allowed to do b'lashon arami because you're dealing straight with God, and God understands lashon arami. So it sounds from that gemara very strongly that we do need malachim for our tefilos, and that's why we can't use a language that the malachim don't understand. We do need the malachim for our tefilos. So the Elia Rabba and Simon Samach Beis quotes earlier sources that say that gemara is not really referring to malachim at all. It's referring to having proper kavana during davening. It's not really about malachim, but in malachim sharis in this makirim b'lashon arami just means that we're not going to be able to focus properly on lashon arami. Very hard, very hard to. It's also difficult to understand what that means that they're not makirim b'lashon arami. Tosus over there in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis says, "What do you mean? Afilu machshavos shebleivishem yodim. They even know what's going on inside our thoughts. How do they not know lashon arami? If they could read our thoughts, how could they not read a language that our thoughts come out in?" Right? Meaning that the language is just an expression of thoughts. So they don't understand the language, but they read it, but they can read our thoughts, so what's pshat? So some of the Rishonim explain that no, they don't like Lashon Arami. They think it's disgusting. Either because they think anything other than Lashon HaKodesh is disgusting, and therefore it's not just Lashon Arami that you're not allowed to daven, it's really anything. Or it's that, no, they think Arami is a corruption of Hebrew. And as a corruption of Lashon HaKodesh, they find it particularly disgusting. But either way, that Gemara, on its surface at least, seems to be a raya that malachim play a role in our tefilos. Now, one could argue, but the Gemara also said, when the Shechina's there, the malachim don't play a role. When's the Shechina there? So we know the Shechina's there by a chola. Shechina's also there when you have a minion. So in the presence of a minion, maybe that's when we should dafka not say anything that requires the aid of. We should not ever give any impression that we need the aid of malachim whenever you're davening with a minion. The Gemara in Maseches Sota, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, says, Lo lamal yish al adam tzrach of bloshna ramis, because malachi sharis is not niskakin lo. And then the Gemara says, no, that depends. Habi yachar habi tzibur. Depends whether you're dealing with Biyachid or Betzibur. Again, the idea being that Biyachid, the Shechina is not there. Betzibur, the Shechina is there in a more intense form. How do we know that the angels even know our thoughts? That's a whole other discussion. To say briefly, Yaakov Emden raises the question, who says the angels know our thoughts? Tosos says the angels even know our thoughts. Where did Tosos get that idea the angels know our thoughts? So some bring a raya from the Gemara Megillah, and the Gemara says that how do you know that Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh? So the Pasuk says, Vayomer Haman Belibo, that Haman said in his heart. How will we know what Haman said in his heart, unless he had Ruach HaKodesh? So if you assume Ruach HaKodesh works through Malachim, that Ruach HaKodesh means Malachim tell you stuff, so then Esther was written by Malachim telling what Haman knew in his heart. So apparently Malachim know what's going through someone's heart. Does that mean they know all the time? Maybe Ruach HaKodesh just allows you a certain insight some of the time. Doesn't necessarily mean they know every single time someone's having a thought. Not necessarily the greatest raya. Okay, anyway, another reason why perhaps to say Mechnisei Rachamim is in the introduction to the Siddur Otzer HaTfilos. He quotes that since many Gaonim have used this tefillah, so we're not on a level to question them. I mean, we didn't write the tefillah, people much greater than us wrote the tefillah. We can't question the tefillah written by such giants. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet, is another raya, says that a person should daven that the angels should help his tefillahs out. I mean, based on the way Rashi understands the Gemara, not all Rishonim agree that that's the way to read the Gemara, but the way Rashi reads the Gemara is that a person is supposed to daven that the angels should help in his tefillos, implying that the angels do play a critical role in the tefillos. So when it comes down to it, should we say it or should we not say it? So the Maharal says that we don't pray to angels at all, and even though we allow one to ask another person to pray for them, you're not allowed to ask an angel to pray for you. Why the difference between a person and an angel? Chassam Sofer and Achuvah Rechaim Sim Kosam Chvav says that by the Jewish people are actually closer to God than the angels are. And therefore, by asking another Jew, you're asking someone who's much closer. By asking an angel, the angel is much further from God. A little counterintuitive. The Mabit in Beis Elokim, Shara Tefillah Perikud Beis, says that it's unlikely that a person would attribute godlike powers and abilities to another person. so you could ask another person to daven for you. But an angel, person might, it's a slippery slope. You might start believing in the angel as an avodah zarah, so that's why we don't want to get involved. Ram Shik in the Tshuva Archaim Sim Reish Sadi Gimel explains the idea of asking other people to daven for you, that it has nothing to do with attributing special abilities to those people. It's just that God is only going to punish people who deserve it. So if a tzaddik joins in your tzara, you're not going to suffer if it's going to cause the tzaddik suffering unjustly. So that's why, but the angels don't suffer, so there's no, it's not shaykh to talk about angels praying for you. You ask another person to pray for you, you ask him to join together in your tzara. However, many communities do have the custom to say Machnisei Rachamim, and there are a lot of explanations of why that's okay as well. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar, the Rebbe of the Ramban, explains that, no, we're not really davening to the angels, the Machnisei Rachamim or the Tzadikei Adar. And like we just said, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to daven to, you're allowed to ask other people to daven for you. Mary Bryna says that we say it as a sign of humility, meaning not that we're really davening to the angels. It's ki'ilu we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not worthy to speak to you. We're only worthy to even to speak to your lieutenants, to your angels. We're not even worthy to speak to you. But not that we really daven to the angels and we think that they could help. It's a sign of humility of how to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The minhag in our yeshiva, which I assume is based on the pesach of Rabbi Willig, because that's where most of our yeshiva's minhagim come from, is to not say Machnisei Rachamim. They say that some sofer used to have the minhag to say an extra long tachnun, so that he would finish without saying Machnisei Rachamim when everyone else finished with saying Machnisei Rachamim. So he didn't want to make a whole tumult about it, but that he personally wouldn't do it either. Okay.